The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome to the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast special edition, live from Memphis, Tennessee, where Nebraska is about to play Texas A&M tonight at 5:50 is the tip time. Huskers, of course, everybody knows the storyline, looking for their first ever NCAA tournament win. A lot of people think this is the team to do it. We got here late Wednesday night. Kind of hung out at the arena Thursday, the FedEx Forum, all one word. Brunts, are you okay with that? Do you wish there was a space in there?
Yeah, well, people are just going to assume we screwed it up.
But not on this one. So don't come at us with that.
Yeah,
it's one word. But we were there, and so were the Huskers, and everybody got their chance to shoot around inside the gym. Fred Hoiberg and some of the players did interviews. You were in the locker room with some of the guys. You did a one-on-one with Keisei Tominaga with some really good stuff that's on the website. First thoughts, Bronze, what were you thinking as our little tour around the arena yesterday?
Yeah, it seems like, speaking specifically of Nebraska, they seemed relaxed yesterday. Like, it seemed like a relaxed group. You know, I think you can, when you have a veteran team like Nebraska, everybody was just kind of going about their business. I mean, it's a big arena, it's an NBA arena, a really good setup. But you know, guys didn't seem too wide eyed about much of anything, and I think that's a good sign. I mean, the only guy in this roster, the two guys in this roster that have played in an NCAA tournament game, it's Juwan Gary and Fred Hoiberg. I mean, those are your two guys. So, you know, how they kind of weather everything will be interesting. But I thought it was a really kind of relaxed group yesterday, which I think is a good sign. I don't feel like they're feeling the magnitude of things like you kind of laid out.
Yeah. And, you know, the topic about them trying to break through and get that first tournament win, I know it's right before us, so it's different now, but they've thought about this for a while. This is something this team has put into the air and not been afraid to speak about, trying to be that group. Now, what's that going to mean tonight? You know, are they going to play nervous and you know, shoot 3 for 28 or something from behind the arc? It's always possible. But I'm kind of with you. They do have sort of a comfort in their own skin. They were asked directly, Bryce Williams and Rink Mast up front, about the fact that they're the only power program to never do it. And they don't blink at that question. It's just like, yeah, we talk about it. And Rink, I think, hit the nail on the head. He's like, you know, it's there. It's something you want. But, you know, I'm paraphrasing. You can't let that, like, overcome you going into this game. It's still got to be about the moment and about the team you're playing. And, of course, most of all, with this A&M team, it's about rebounding. And, you know, if you can do that, you'll get that win, and then everybody will be happy, and we'll never hear that question ever again in our lives.
It would be nice to put that to bed. Like that, that would be, if there's anything we get out of this trip, it's maybe killing off that storyline finally. Mm-hmm. Like it's just been, obviously it's been going on for a long time, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like this group is being bogged down by that. And I was thinking about it a little bit. And in 2014, when they kind of made that magic run to the tournament, it felt like that, the winless streak was much more kind of in your face than what it's been this week. Maybe I'm just completely naive to that, but I don't know. I think they're handling things the right way.
Let's get into the Keisei Tominaga storyline, because you know that I think a lot of people across the country just want this to be a thing this weekend. They want like him to have that moment, sort of like he had at the end of the first half last week in Minneapolis, where he gives you those shots and the celebration, and it's on the One Shining Moment video at the end. By the way, might have already given them a clip no matter what happens, because they got a good shot of him shooting it left-handed over his back from midcourt and making it. So that I feel like that could be a nice opener. But you got some time with him one-on-one. And leading into this question, Bruns, I guess my thought is, the advantage Keisei has with this deal and all the hype is he's always got like people following his stat line and like intrigued by him individually. Like, what did he do on that given night back home? Like a ton of people are following that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's more in America that are probably like catching on to it, but it's not like unusual to him to have this attention. But how do you think he's handling it?
I think he's handling it fine. I mean, it was funny, like, you know, in the NCAA tournament, you have an open locker room and anybody can come in, anybody can ask questions. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of access to players. And I mean, nobody was talking to him. Like, he had a few national guys that were popping through there, a few, you know, guys from Memphis that were covering things, and like everybody just left him alone. I mean, I'm sure the language barrier might be part of the reason, but at the same time, like, he did an interview with CBS. I'm sure that's going to be, you know, on the game tonight, but I don't get the sense that he's feeling the pressure of anything. And like you said, I mean, the rest of the country is kind of waking up to it, but I think anybody that's watched any kind of Big Ten basketball kind of understands what his game is and how he plays. And I think people also forget, like, this is a guy that played for his country on the international stage. Like,
right.
The NCAA tournament is a step up in attention from what he sees day to day. But I mean, this isn't completely new to him. And you and I were kind of talking about this on the drive down. I mean, I think in some ways, you know, this narrative has emerged that like Nebraska basketball is going to go how Keisei is going to go. When in fact, I think the attention on him actually probably makes things easier for his teammates, because Nebraska is such a balanced team.
Yeah, it might very well. If you think about March Madness and when there's like a sharpshooter who you hear about, it does often seem like he's on a team where he has to score, you know, 30 points or something to do something spectacular for his squad to win. We've seen with this Nebraska team, you know, that they beat Wisconsin in the comeback win when Keisei had 2 points, you know, and it was a CJ Wilcher show that night. I've pointed this out a bunch of times, how in their 10 league wins at home, when they went 10-0, they had 5 different leading scorers, and actually Bryce Williams wasn't even one of those. But and you would so you can almost say that's like having 6, because he was like right near the top a lot of times. And so if Keisei plays within himself, you know, I don't mind a heat check shot on occasion, but if he doesn't force the issue too much, I think also the attention that Texas A&M is going to give him, like other teams do, is going to open up some opportunities for other guys to hit shots. So somebody else is going to have to step forward, I think, and that's a big key to this game. Like Bryce Williams, maybe he hits 3 from behind the arc or something. Maybe Rink Mast has that game, sort of like he had Saturday against Illinois, which was a good sign that he was sort of coming out of a mini offensive slump where he hit some from deep. So I do think there's going to be some open looks for other guys. But like everybody, we both of us, I know, want to see the show. Like, we want to see K-State have a moment, and hopefully that Nebraska gets the best of both worlds tonight. Yeah.
And we've talked about this too. I mean, so much of this game, I think, is going to be determined by how it's officiated on both sides. I mean, if they call the off the ball stuff on Texas A&M with holding KZ and things like that, that has happened all season in the Big Ten and has not been called. I mean, it's going to be a clunky game, but it's going to be a game that maybe benefits Nebraska. And on the flip side of that, if they're going to officiate things really tightly in the paint, that has the potential to be a little bit of a scary thing for Nebraska. If you've got Mast or Alec or Gary or somebody sitting on the bench with a couple early fouls, I mean, that's where it kind of plays into Texas A&M's hands a little bit too. So I think that's going to be really key in this one is just how it's officiated and whether they let things go or not.
The phrase muck it up kept coming. Muck it up, I said, with an M. Muck it up. Kept coming up when Texas A&M was up front. And it's kind of playing off your point there. Like, it's funny, like the Illinois game that Nebraska lost Saturday was 98-87. And yet, in a way, I think the Illini kind of won because of mucking it up and the fact that Terrence Shannon had that, you know, there was sort of a string of possessions where he just was able to, like, slow the game down by getting to the foul line. It kind of took Nebraska out of their offensive flow. And I'm with you. Like, if A&M wins this game, I think it's going to be because they have a player, maybe it's Wade Taylor or one of their bigs who can draw a couple Huskers into foul trouble, and they can make this a game where there's a lot of stops and starts to it and it's not free flowing. But it's multi-layered because you're right. Like, if it's an officiating crew that doesn't like to let things go as much and some of the holding on Casey actually gets called, you know, he's going to get a lot at the foul line too. And Nebraska will be in the bonus pretty soon. So that it'll be interesting how that plays out. Buzz Williams was very complimentary and it seemed genuine. I know there's always flattery given the day before about the opponent, but about how Nebraska just plays pretty basketball and how coaches are actually like sort of envious of like the read and react system that Fred has, and how he was like amazed, like how it works through a big like Rink Mass as like your facilitator and all that stuff. There's a lot of peers, I think, who look at Nebraska and they love the way this team plays, which is another reason I think a lot of people are so hopeful, not just to end the streak tonight, but also because this is like they play basketball in a way that is joyful to watch when they do it well. Like, you know, when they're playing their A or even their B plus game, we've seen some possessions where there's those like five passes where it's here, 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 and it just goes around and it ends up with this lovely piece of art. And so I think that's part of the attraction of this Husker team too, that even the opposing coaches, and I think, kind of recognize and seeing it.
Yeah. When I was talking to guys yesterday in the locker room, there was a lot of discussion about like, how do you kind of, I guess, what's different about an NCAA tournament game? How do you kind of weather things? And, you know, Juwan Gary is the one that can kind of speak to it the most. I wrote about this on the site, but he was kind of talking about how like every player on that roster is going to have that moment when they check into the game or they start the game. And it's like, okay, you're there. Like you're on TV. You're in the NCAA tournament. It's kind of what you dream about and getting that opportunity, and it's happening. And how do you kind of deal with those emotions? And, you know, I think it's, you know, these games also tend to be kind of back and forth affairs. Like you have to be ready to kind of go with the ebbs and flows, ride the wave. And do you think that the way that they played some of these games, like the Wisconsin game, I think is probably the best example to me. CJ Wilcher was talking about that he thought that the Wisconsin game really prepared them for whatever they were going to face in the postseason. Purdue was kind of that way as well. I mean, these guys are, you know, they feel like a battle-tested group, I guess. And certainly, you know, all that stuff happening at home, it's a little bit of a different, it's a different situation, but I think this is a group that because of the way that they've played both good in those situations and also just looked completely lost like they did at Ohio State, like they did against Iowa. I think they're do you think that they're ready for this kind of a stage, I guess? Because that's always a thing. Is it's like, are you the not ready for primetime players?
Yeah. I don't know for sure. I kind of think they will be because I thought Saturday was a perfect game for it. Like you were in that window where you have Raftery and Grant Hill sitting over there. And I know I make a big deal about that all the time, but I like it. It does matter though. Like I was like, wow, this is like Nebraska's playing at, 2:33 PM on Saturday on tournament weekend. And you got the main CBS crew there and you see the logo and all that. It's just like, you can't miss it when you're on the floor. Like,
you're not on Raycom anymore, boys.
Yeah, you're on one of the in like last Saturday they knew they were playing a game that was like okay, the spotlight is out. And even though the second half got away from them, I liked that they were relaxed right off the bat, and it's like, okay, let's just ball. And they looked comfortable and they looked ready to go. And so you're hopeful they kind of take off from that, honestly. Like if they bring that first half like mental side of it to it. Like if they bring the mental capacity they had like for in that Big Ten tournament, even on Saturday that they lost, I think they'll win tonight because I think they weren't looking nervous or they weren't looking out of their element. It's such a weird thing in these tournaments because you watch them as like you can. There's sometimes a great shooter goes like 2 for 15, and it throws everything off and you lose by 4, So you just can't account for that sort of stuff. There's sometimes that one guy who it's just not right for him and it can make all the difference. You hope that in Nebraska's case, the fact that they have been so balanced and been able to like, okay, this guy's down tonight, this guy picks him up. You're hoping that's what it happens. It's like a baseball team that's when they're rolling as you Brunswick, you have that guy in scoring position. Someone strikes out, gets a second out, but the next guy picks him up. That's sort of what this team has done when they're at their best. They find someone else to fit. So we'll see if they can do that. Who do you think is like everybody's focused on Casey, but give me somebody that's not him from Nebraska's roster that you think like has to be a guy tonight, like he kind of steps forward.
Yeah. I think two guys. I think Juwan Gary needs to be just an absolute junkyard dog. Like it's well documented how good A&M is on the glass. I mean, I think everybody knows that storyline, but you need Gary to make one or two of those just kind of plays where Nebraska seems dead on offense, or he gets a loose ball, or a putback, or something like that, where it's just one or two plays, but they can really be momentum changers. And everybody's gonna have to go to the glass tonight. I mean, Kaze is gonna have to rebound. I mean, everybody on the floor is gonna have to do it. It's gonna be five guys. So, but I think Juwan, I think with his experience, I think they need to. To kind of ride his energy at times. And with Bryce Williams, I mean, we haven't talked about him enough all season, I don't think, and just on how important he is. And I think his length and, just the way that he plays on the perimeter, I think can kind of help. I think it'll give A&M's guards a little bit of trouble. And maybe we're not talking enough about A&M's guards. I mean, I think they feel like they've got an advantage there over Nebraska. But I think Bryce Williams is a little bit of a different look than maybe what they probably see night in and night out.
Yeah. Wade Taylor's really good for A&M. Was he 6 foot? Is that his size? And he's averaging about 19 per game, 4 assists. And you got to be respectful because that's, I mean, good in a league that they haven't done so hot so far in the tournament as we're making this podcast. But, they got a lot of teams in. So you got to give your due to him, and he's sort of the head of the snake, as Fred Hoiberg would say. They got to kind of cut him off in this game. But I am with you a little bit in that I think Nebraska's got size on him, actually, as weird as it sounds with like the rebounding component where it's kind of everybody talking about how it favors A&M, which it probably does a little bit. Nebraska on the perimeter, I think, could cause a lot of problems with like Bryce Williams, like you're saying, like his 6'7" length, and he's a way better defender than given credit. He just does little things that go unnoticed. He probably, I thought, was the best Husker in Minneapolis. Had 23 points both games, and he has a calmness about him that we always joke about it. The grown man, full beard type guy that you trust. Like I just do. Like he's a guy in this setting that you feel comfortable with, probably performing well. And I think he could give A&M a lot of problems. It's possible we're completely wrong on this, and A&M's guards run around Nebraska, and they crush the Huskers on the offensive glass, and that's that. I also do think it could dramatically be like men against boys. I actually think that. Like I think there's a possibility where you could get a little Nebraska where you're like, okay, Bryce Williams, fourth, fifth year college guys. There have been nights against good teams like Kansas State on the road where Nebraska has looked like they're the varsity playing the JV, just like in how they approach it and how they go about their business. So if it's one of those nights where everybody's dialed in that way, I think they can give a lot of problems to A&M on the offensive end trying to get into their sets. But we'll see. Texas A&M, like, I think it's going to be key those first 5 minutes, Bruns. Like, if A&M comes out of the gate and it's like 10-2 their lead or something, and you just did a story. I know the history is way back, but in a lot of the times Nebraska has suffered here in the NCAA tournament, part of it's because they have dug themselves holes that they just have had trouble getting out of in a lot of these games. Yeah. And so it'd be nice if they're playing from up front, and I think they'll have a crowd advantage. We'll see about that, but I kind of believe they will.
Yeah, no, the kind of common denominator across a lot of those NCAA tournament appearances for Nebraska and tournament losses were just, by the 10-minute mark, the game was almost over, or Nebraska was having to crawl out of such a big hole that you just kind of burn so much energy just trying to get back in the game. And I think that's kind of what I was talking about with what Gary said. I mean, you're going to have to overcome that in the first few minutes and settle into the game quickly. So we'll see if Nebraska can do that. I agree. I think when you have guys that are a little bit older, I think that helps. Guys that have kind of been through it and played basketball in different places. I think that's kind of as much as the battle of anything is, how do you kind of settle into the game and play your style of basketball? Because it feels like this game is going to come down to who can kind of dictate that, who can dictate the style of game that it's going to be. And I think a big factor for Nebraska is how many early shots can they make? Because if you start making a few shots, that changes the way that A&M is going to play defense against you. And it kind of eliminates the rebounding conversation a little bit too, if they're having to, take the ball out of the net after every possession.
If Nebraska makes shots early, what often happens, and you've heard it from A&M's side, even their players talk about it, like they kind of live by the three, die by the three. That's how they kind of talk about Nebraska. That's not really completely right. Like, yes, they need to hit 9 or 10 of them throughout the game. But if they do hit a few early, we've seen where that just opens up everything at the rim. And then in Hoiberg's offense, someone makes a cut, it's an easy layup, or Kase becomes a decoy. Like if Kase gets 15 in the first half or something, Nebraska's more than fine if he has like 4 the rest of the game, but it just opens up stuff, to the bucket. And so it will present all sorts of opportunities. The other thing that would do that is if Rink can hit a couple, as the big, it just like really takes their big away from the rim where he's like, okay, this guy actually can make them in this setting, and I have to honor that. And you got a lot of space to work with. I'll finish it off with this. We didn't even mention Josiah Alec, by the way, I don't think, but he's obviously going to be huge. If he can be the live wire he was on senior night, I think of that game in particular, that's going to be big. And avoiding stupid fouls too. I'd throw that out there. Like, I know there was a lot of kibitzing about the refs in the game Saturday. That's fine. But there was also a couple dumb fouls by Nebraska, and Gary picked up one where it got him his fourth, and I thought it was a foul, and it was one he didn't need to do. So, I mean, they got to be smart there. Finishing point here, Bruns. We were out on Beale Street. We didn't get after it too hard. We were back in our tucked in by curfew. You had a curfew, I think, of like a 9:30 for us or something like that. And I
had to get back for bed check.
Yeah,
bed check and get back for Kansas and Samford.
Yeah, we did. We were tucked in our beds watching Kansas and Samford. But we were on Beale Street a little bit. Nice little area, of course, famous street, great music. It's hard to judge. I don't want to overhype it. I was sensing that Husker Nation is going to be well represented here. Was that what you thought?
There were, I know anecdotally, I know of a lot of people that were going to be rolling into town this morning. You know, maybe they went halfway or stayed in St. Louis or something like that. But yeah, I think of the teams playing in Memphis, I think Nebraska is going to have probably the biggest contingent. I mean, even at practice yesterday, there were probably, what would you say, like 300 Nebraska fans?
Yeah, there were, and they were having fun every time, you know, Casey would make a shot, or Josiah Alec actually went on a run where he hit about five in a row and it got the boys pretty fired up behind him, I noticed.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I think, and that helps. I mean, this is a Nebraska team that was obviously very good at home, very good with the team behind them, or with the crowd behind them, so I don't know. You know how that stuff works. I mean, you make a few shots, the crowd gets into it. I think Nebraska is going to be a really easy team to root for in this thing too. Mm-hmm. If they can hold up their end of the bargain. So yeah, I think that's going to be something to monitor too. I think there's going to be a lot of Nebraska fans there.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up just because it's like, you know, sometimes people are like, oh yeah, we got 55% and it doesn't really matter. No. But I think with this team, when you think about it, especially how they played at PBA, but even last Friday, when they had a clear like crowd edge on a neutral site against Indiana, you could sense like there was a, you know, it, for whatever reason, this team and that crowd, they just connect together really well. Like it, you know, they feed off each other. One helps the other get going. And so I think that could be a big deal in this game. And also I think you hit on it. The neutrals, I think, are going to kind of fall for Nebraska, especially if Casey hits a few shots, because who doesn't like that? Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that matters and if it feels a little bit like a semi-home game or not. Maybe we're wrong, but you got a final prediction before we go? What do you think?
It feels like, I don't know, I feel like the streak is going to end today. I think Nebraska wins a very close close game. I've got them winning by like three or four.
That's what I said. I said 73-69 Nebraska, which would mean they're playing Sunday. We wouldn't know when. We'll get to that when we get to that, but should be fun, we hope, for Nebraska fans. It's been a fun ride with this team, and we'll see if they can keep it going. We're going to have a ton of coverage, already do on the site. Of course, the athletic director's here too, Troy Dannon. He talked, and we have the video and all the stuff on that. We'll get to football next week in a big way too. But right now,
by the way,
yeah, I think Matt Rhule's fine with that too. He likes that the Hoops is having their moment, and the women, of course, play tonight too against Texas A&M at 9:30. So we'll see if they can pull the double and win both against A&M. We'll have all of it on Husker 24/7. Come back for all the latest.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.